the other day, I'm talking to the neighbor kid while I'm walking the dog, and he's always excited to see the dog. He's like, hey, Stick, he doesn't care about me, cares, little scary, crazy dog. He looks up, and he's like, scary monsters. I'm like, what? He's like, what monsters scare you? And I'm like, there aren't any real monsters.
He just starts talking. How old is this kid?
He's 7, 8 years old. He's a little dude. Okay. It's his mom and dad, you know, but he always comes tumbling down the hill or bouncing down, whatever it is.
Yeah.
And it got me thinking. I mean, it was a very provocative concept. It's like, if monsters were real, and there are enough humans that act in monstrous ways.
We have plenty of monsters in the real world, but if, like, you're talking vampires, werewolves.
Right. Yeah. And there's different types of vampires now, from different TV shows to different movies to people actually pick up a Bram Stoker book or whatever else that's out there, and werewolves, and then there's mixtures of hybrids and zombies and whatever.
H.P. Lovecraft, Cthulhu mythos, and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah. And, I mean, there's other stuff that's come up. You say, oh, there's something that gets into you in an effect. It's always the stuff that scares me.
This 7-year-old is going after you about monsters.
That's correct.
That's terrifying.
It is terrifying. I'm like, okay, well, what really scares me? And it's always the stuff that's that close to being legitimate. I mean, before I tell you what I think is scary, what scares you when it comes to monsters and stuff, or is this too outlandish?
Well, no. This is actually really good. Oh, yeah, sure. If a giant octopoid monster with giant teeth and snake eyes came after me, it would be terrifying, but that's not going to happen. The things when you say what scares me, that's the very pragmatic, realistic thing. You know, something would happen to my kids or my wife or my family, that sort of thing. The stuff that really happens, or, you know, like stuff you were to say, like medical things that would scare you. My grandfather had Alzheimer's. Well, that scares me because you lose your mind. And if somebody said you had a choice between Alzheimer's or cancer, I go with cancer, because at least you know what's going on, and as awful as that is, I don't want to lose my mind. But that's very pragmatic. That's a very real life thing. Are you talking about something beyond that, like aliens?
Well, look, I think the zombie scares me. If they
so
were
yours,
real.
Yours more is what is not real that would scare you the most.
Well, I mean, to take it back, you mentioned snakes. I mean, look, you know, in South Florida, into Georgia, the Carolinas, Louisiana, where I used to live around New Orleans in the bayou or whatever, people have let out these snakes that don't belong there, and random other creatures that...
Are you kidding? In Ohio, this guy let wild animals out on the freeway a couple years ago. Don't you remember that?
Oh, I do remember that. He killed himself after he let them out and then left everybody else to do the wild animal cleanup. Yeah.
There was like a lion swiping at cars on Interstate 70. And stuff like that.
Yeah, that's one of those where you change lanes, maybe without a signal, just get the hell out of the way.
At that you know point, I mean? You know, it's not going to worry about you. You didn't put on your directional early enough.
That's exactly right. Like in the backyard, and it's kind of scary because we've got a whole ecosystem. There's cats. We've been feeding the birds. Then there's the squirrels. And now there's hawks and falcons that are coming and picking off squirrels. And I'm waiting for the dog or the cat to be taken away because if, you know, they can get a squirrel. That's kind of scary. And then you think, okay, well, what about these snakes and stuff? Like, there are different parts of the world. We're not the top of the food chain. That scares me. Like, if you go for a walk, you're out and about minding your own business in the neighborhood, you're probably okay. Maybe there's a villain that comes by, decides to rob you or something. Maybe there's a loose dog. But if you're in some parts of the world, there's mountain lions, there's cougars, there's snakes and bears.
There's mountain lions in California.
Bears.
I mean,
yeah.
On,
and occasionally, you know, you hear this story of how the guy survived because he had to, you know, he punched the mountain lion in the face like you would a shark or something. Then he got a big stick and, like, stabbed it or whatever. I don't know how that works, but you get the general idea that's the stuff that worries me, where it could be, like, serial killers scare the hell out of me, because there's a number of them that are just working at any given point in time. They're out there. That's real evil. That's real monsters.
Yeah, they actually have a number somewhere, like the FBI or whatever. There are, like, something like 30 serial killers likely doing their thing right now, and they're not caught yet.
Yeah. So, I mean, at any point in time you go to gas up, you know, off the interstate someplace, off the freeway, and, you know, somebody comes up and wants to talk to you. I'm not trying, you know, don't ask me the time, don't ask me if I have change. Maybe it's because I'm paranoid and freaked out, but I just have the belief that somewhere out there I could just go missing at any point in time, and maybe I wouldn't be missed. But definitely, it's disturbing to me.
You're seriously worried that you're the kind of person going out there in the wild to the world of the big city, and there's going to be some serial killer who's going to be like, ooh, yeah, that guy. No one's going to miss that guy.
And then again, who really wants to steal me? I mean, then there's the other side. Like, what's the upside, really?
I'm gonna, there's some people, you know, hey, they'd find something to do with you.
Yeah, I suppose that's the case. But real, like, movie monsters or you know, fictitious monsters, which is, the most frightening for you? The vampire, the werewolf, the zombie, there's other stuff. I mean, you got alien creatures that could come back, some viral, you know, bacterial thing that turns into, like, a mutant. I mean, what?
Well, you know, the thing, the movie that scared me the most as a kid, it's always got to be psychological because, you know, if you sit there and you say like something like dinosaurs used to exist, they don't exist now. So they're monsters now, or, you know, like a zombie coming in and killing you, or a vampire that would drink your blood and you'd die. I mean, it's like, well, that's just still a version of a wild animal attack. The things right. that really get in my head are the stuff that use you or can, if they were real. Like the thing that scared the crap out of me as a kid was Invasion of the Body Snatchers. And it's so funny because dad at the public library, because this is actually before like home video, the public library had gotten like the 16mm films and they were going to show Came from Outer Space and The Thing from Another World and Village of the Damned and Invasion of the Body Snatchers. Wow. And he was going to take me to go see The Thing. And it was one every like Tuesday night or something. And we went and saw The Thing, and mom was all worried I'd be afraid of that because, you know, James Arness is this big monster. But I handled that well. He says, okay, let's go to the Invasion of the Body Snatchers next. That shouldn't be a problem at all. There's no real monsters in that. Well, they get you when you sleep. And so that night, apparently, my mom comes into the bedroom and starts yelling at my dad. She's like, you took him to this movie, and now he's up there worried that the pod people are coming after him and that there's a thing in his closet that's going to duplicate him when he sleeps, and now he's not going to bed. It wasn't until I got to high school that I could watch the 1978 remake with Donald Sutherland.
Oh, yeah.
It wasn't until I was like in high school or out of high school before I could go to sleep after watching that without it completely messing up my brain.
So, and I can remember watching, it was, you know, sort of like that shock theater thing. Every city had their, you know, their ghoul or whatever yeah. else that did host of the movie shows. And I remember staying up late when I wasn't supposed to. And I ended up getting an earful and an eyeful of Night of the Living Dead. It's foggy. And it's black and white, which I used to think the old days were all in black and white because all the pictures yeah. were in black and white.
There was no color in the 40s anywhere.
Right. I don't know when it changed, but that's all I thought the old days were. So then you got The Walking Dead, and this guy, he's trying to save himself. He's trying to save the girl, and it's sort of hokey, but kind of. I'm a little dude. I was so petrified. I remember, like, go take the dog into the backyard. I'm like, hell no, I'm not going into the backyard.
The zombies are back there. They're going to eat my flesh.
That's exactly right. And even now I can think about it. And it's sort of like a, you know, the monster underneath your bed kind of scenario where that kind of resonates in a big, scary, frightening way. And then the thing that let me off the hook years later, and I forget what show it was, might have been an Outer Limits or something when they redid that deal, is the whole thing goes, you know, there's a monster on my bed, this, that, and the other. And he says, don't you know, the monster under the bed never hurts whomever's under the bed they're under or something like that. They can't, like, if they're under your bed, they can't hit you.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it was like a Midnight Shadow Man. Wasn't that called The Shadow Man? I think it was on the Twilight Zone remake back in the 80s, yeah.
That sounds about right, sure. And then I started thinking, oh, okay, so I'm safe in my house if it's the monster under my own bed. But then the wheels start turning like crazy. I'm like, you know, it's like Scary Stick at that point. I'm like, holy crap, what else is out there that can kill me? And then there's that fine line where you got to see a doctor, sit down, and they probably, you know, prescribe some pharmaceuticals to help you deal with, you know, whatever else is out there that's ailing you, I guess.
Well, yeah. Well, and the thing for me, like when it comes to the zombie thing, what's worse? Would you rather just get killed and eaten by a zombie, or would you rather get bitten by a zombie and become a zombie yourself? That's what I'm talking about. Stuff like that thing where you become something else, where you change, where
the transformation. Sure,
yeah, that's the stuff that bothers me. Or like the stuff like, you know, like I said, I can deal with monsters that just attack you. That the worst thing that's going to happen to you is you're going to die, and that's not good.
But at least it's over.
But it's then you're done in yourself, and you can be happy with that. But like, there's something like The Exorcist. I remember watching The Exorcist as a kid, and it just being freaking terrifying.
Absolutely, because you got God stuff. You got, you know, a woman or girl's head spinning around, spewing out, like, you know, pee, vomit, or whatever else, and throwing priest out windows. That's very. I got to see that when I was way too young to have been able to see it too. It should never have been allowed, because that messed with me on a whole lot of levels too.
Yeah, and that's the stuff that bothers me, is sort of like the haunted house, the spirits, the stuff that there's something beyond there that you don't have control over, you don't even understand. hand, and they're going to come after you. Like, dude, there was a movie called Sinister with Ethan Hawke. That was a scary movie about a demon possession. And that kind of stuff, if you want to talk about monsters, that's the stuff that sticks in my craw. That's what gets in the back of my brain and makes me a little bit scared, yeah.
I think that the change and the transformation thing that you mentioned is I start to, like, sort of ruminate on that, or at least internalize it. That does affect me in a big way. But the zombie thing, they never have really anything after they get, like, infected. They just sort of, you know, they either move fast or like the old Night of the Living Dead ones, they were sort of slow, but they were steady. Yeah. And then the other side, of course, is where they control you. That's the thing with a vampire that's weird.
Yeah.
Because if you're not the king or queen vampire, then they control you. I'd want to be the boss. I don't want to, like, be transformed and live forever under, like, the guise of being, you know, ruled and controlled by some other entity. I don't like that.
Sometimes they take it too far. Like, I've been recently watching with my father the Universal Monster movies. We've been watching a bunch of them. And we watched all the Draculas. The first Dracula is great. The Spanish language Dracula is really interesting because it's a different take, but it's in Spanish. And then we watched, like, Dracula's Daughter, which is not a bad movie, this weird 1930s movie with lesbian overtones, and then Son of Dracula was kind of terrible. But in the first Dracula, the original Dracula with Bela Lugosi, he uses his hypnotizing powers for the dumbest things. There's, like, a scene where there's an opera or a theater performance, and he wants to talk to Dr. Seward, who runs a sanitarium where Renfield is staying, and he comes in there, and he goes to this, like, this usherette, and he's, like, hypnotizing her, and he's like, "You will go tell Dr. Seward that I am here to see him." And she goes in, and "You will forget it all. You'll remember nothing." And I'm like, why didn't you just tell her, "Hey, can you tell Dr. Seward that I'm here to see him?" Why was it necessary for him to hypnotize her? He's the kind of person that would, like, go into a deli and be like, "You will give me a ham sandwich." And the guy will make him a ham sandwich, but he just had to ask for a ham sandwich because it's a deli, for crying out.
That is what they do at the deli. Is ham and cheese, maybe a little, like, a club. So
no wine, because he does not drink wine.
No, he just drinks the blood that looks like wine. I totally get that. So, I mean, there's a lot of stuff that scares me. I don't live in fear. I'm just saying that the bottom line is that this kid who's 7, 8 years old has now got this germinated, like, thing. I think we should bring this conversation back to him and see exactly how messed up we can make that little
dude. Well, no, I want to know, what did this kid, did you say, "Well, what scares you?" Then he runs away crying. He's like, the crazy man with the dog made me cry. And then suddenly, and little alarms come by and you're in the paddy wagon.
When kids are in the neighborhood and you're walking a dog, that is the fear. I don't want to really talk to anybody. I want to make sure parents are out there when the kids come up to the dog. I don't want anybody getting bitten, not that he bites. And then I don't want any, like, "Oh, I was talking." No. I want mom and dad right there so there's no doubt. I don't want to be thought of as the monster in the neighborhood.
So he wasn't coming up to you running and saying, "Look, real life monsters," pointing to you and your hound from hell. Did he offer you what scared him?
I asked him, and he goes, "Well," and he goes down this list of scary stuff that's common. And then he mentioned The Passage, which I don't think the little kid should be watching, which is this new show about vampires. Mm. And I didn't get to go deeper because then he just wanted to play with the dog, and I wanted to keep going because it was already awkward and uncomfortable. And I'm wanting to know, was he trying to scare me? Why is he scared? Why is he at 7 or 8 thinking this way?
Yeah, that is an odd conversation starter for, and you should try that next time you go on a date.
Yeah,
just to sit down and be like, "Oh, hey, how are you doing? Oh, good to see you. Thanks for coming. Real life monsters, what scares you?"
Or just go, "What scares you?"
What scares
that's always
you?
Really good.
I don't want to do it. She's like, "Well, I don't like getting attacked." All right, I got that. Check. Anything else that's not horrifying for you?
You wait for the that backup kind of text or call that you always have when you're going out with somebody new, or at least a lot of people do, just in case it's your way out. "Oh, no, I got to go. Work's called. It's really, you know, we'll catch up later." One of those things, just in case it starts to get really, truly scary and uncomfortable.
You know, you could be like the guy from Scream and just send her a text and say, "Hey, what terrifies you? What's the worst thing that I could do to you that would make you terrified?"
It has been a while since you've been dating for a while.
LOL.
Yeah, LOL, that's right. So why don't really scare the hell out of you to the point of, like, calling for help? Let me know. Just kidding. Everything's fun. Just joking. Just good times. Good times.
Yeah, there you go.
You've been listening to The Chubby and Stick Show.
Copyright Kevin Carr and Sterling Radio. Subscribe to and rate The Chubby and Stick Podcast on iTunes.
Like and subscribe to The Chubby and Stick Show on YouTube.
Contact the show and hit up Chubby and Stick on Twitter.
At Kevin Carr and at Sterling Radio. Music by MichaelBard.com. Credits voiced by Joe Jewett. I'm at DeborahBenner.com.
Thanks for listening to The Chubby and Stick Show, and keep keeping it real.